Meet the people of MCB with Chip Haley and Denny Huff. Brought to you by the Missouri Council of the Blind. Now, let's meet the people. Welcome again to this edition of Meet the People of MCB. I'm Denny Huff.
And I'm Chip Haley. And today we get to reverse the roles. Mr. Huff will be the interviewee, and I get to be the interviewer.
Now go easy on me, okay?
Well, I tell you what, I got my Braille pocket watch out because I know when you interviewed me, you gave me 23 minutes. So I've got my Braille pocket watch out and make sure we don't go past 23 minutes.
We can stop here if you want to.
Well, I tell you what, let's go ahead and get started then.
Okay.
I know one of the things that you always like to do, and I do as well, is have the individual tell us about how that they had lost their sight. So that's where we're going to begin today with you, because I know you've got quite a story on how you had sustained your vision loss. So just go right ahead.
Okay. I am totally blind, have no vision at all. I lost my sight in 1974. And it was, kind of a work-related accident. I stayed over after work. I was working at a GMC truck company as parts manager for the company. Stayed over after work. A friend of mine came up, had some repairs to make on his truck, and put a new starter on, and did a few other things. And it took most of the night to do that, and it was early the next morning, actually, about 1 o'clock in the morning. We were working on the last thing, a large tractor tire, and I was bent over it, airing it up, and he was standing there with his foot on the tire, and we're still not sure to this day what happened, but it exploded and hit me square in the face, and it knocked him all 10, 15 foot away, and me about 20 foot away, and he thought somebody had dropped a bomb on the building. He didn't know what had happened. It was that loud of an explosion. He finally come to his senses, and it injured his leg. He hobbled over and found me. He thought I was dead. He did turn me over. I was laying face down. Had he not turned me over, I probably would have drowned on. Don't mean to be so graphic, but probably would have drowned on my own blood. And that was before we had 911 and all the emergency services that we have today. But he did make it to a telephone and called the State Highway Patrol, which was just up the road from the GMC truck company. And they sent a patrolman down. He waited outside until the ambulance came, and they came, picked me up. Took me over to Washington, Missouri, to the emergency room, and my family had been called, and they were there at the hospital, and they heard me screaming. They thought that they knew that my arm had been broken. They thought maybe they were trying to set my arm, but actually they were trying to open my eyes. My eyes had swollen up larger than golf balls, and I was a pretty sad shape, really was. I died three times in the ambulance going to the hospital.
Wow.
They transferred me down to St. John's in Creve Coeur, and I had two eye doctors. Actually, they were twin brothers, Tom and Harry Eggleston. Some people will recognize the name Harry Eggleston. I think he was state representative for a while. But anyway, they worked on me side by side for 14 hours trying to save my eyes. And they came out and told my family that I probably would never see again. And I remember somebody told me that my dad just kind of leaned back against the wall and slid down the wall and started bawling. And he said, well, I'll never go hunting or fishing again because Denny won't be able to go. But I proved him wrong. I did go hunting and did a lot of fishing after that. But anyway, I was in the hospital. I was unconscious for 5 days. They did plastic surgery on my face. They took a high school senior picture, and Dr. Onken did plastic surgery, put me back together in my face. They mended up my arm and put bandages on my eyes. And after I came to about a week later, I was there in the hospital, and my whole family was there and some friends. And Dr. Eggleston. Yeah, Tom and Harry Eggleston. Dr. Eggleston came in, and I told him, I said, Doc, I got a funny feeling I can't see. And he said, well, I'm glad nobody had to tell you. Let's take the bandages off and see what the damage is. And so they took the bandages off, and sure enough, I couldn't see anything, with my eyes. So they said I had 2% chance of seeing again in my left eye and nothing in my right eye. So, but here I am 47 years later and still totally blind. I was in the hospital for 2 weeks. God gave me a lot of grace, Chip, to accept my blindness. I never went through any depression. I never was angry at God. When I got out of the hospital 2 weeks later, I was raring to go. I wanted to learn how to be a blind person. I didn't know anybody that was blind. We stopped at a MFA store, Missouri Farmers Association. I used to work there. I knew they had canes there, but all they were walking canes. They're not like, I didn't know the difference between a walking cane and a cane that a blind person uses. But I stopped and bought a cane, one of those little walking canes, and that's what I tried to use for a while. But God, as I said, God gave me a lot of grace. And I tell you, my wife was expecting our first child. She was 8 months along in her pregnancy. And I missed seeing my first baby, my first little girl, by just a month or two. That accident happened on April the 11th, 74. My daughter was born on May the 28th of 74. So anyway, that's how I lost my sight. That probably took up my 23 minutes right there.
There you go.
So thank you for the interview.
So talking about your family, tell us about your girls and your boys.
Okay, as I mentioned, I had a girl born in 74, that's Carrie Lynn. She's now a school teacher in St. Clair here. Been there, I think, 16, 17 years. And she's my oldest girl, and I have a girl that's named Sarah. She's born in 76. I'm not sure exactly what she's doing. She's trying to switch jobs, but she's really into pharmaceutical, doing med tech and working the pharmacies and things like that. Then my oldest boy, Daniel, born in 1980, he is a caretaker at a 500-acre place up in Beaufort, Missouri. They have a big two or three lakes there, and it's on the Burbus River, and it's called Angler's Club. A lot of people join just to go fishing there and go camping, but he's the caretaker there, has a home there on the property. Then my youngest, Devin, he is born in 1981, and he not sure what he does either. I know he's top secret, doing security work for Ameren UE and contracts with them. He travels all over the Midwest doing security work for that company. I have 8 grandchildren and 2 great-grandsons, and it's just been a great life with those my family. I just love them so much.
And I know, Denny, I know you have at least one sister. A couple of years ago, you lost a brother.
Right.
So how many sisters or brothers do you actually have?
I have 2 sisters, Charlene and Robin, and had 4 brothers, or 3 brothers, Gary, Tim, and John. So there were 6 of us in our family. kind of like two different family. Gary Charlene and I, there's 2 years apart between the three of us. And then jumped 6 years to Tim, and it's kind of like two different families. But Mom had Gary. I think Gary and John, the oldest and youngest, are like 23 years apart. So it's quite a spread there. But yeah.
Now, are they two also around the St. Clair area? I know you,
yes.
You pretty much lived there all your life. Is that right?
Yes, born and raised here in St. Clair. And my entire family lives in around the area. I think Charlene lives up in Chesterfield. That's probably the farthest away. My sister Robin lives in Wildwood. And Gary lives in heaven. I guess that's the farthest away. So, yeah.
Amen. Well, at least he made it that far. Praise God.
Yeah.
So, you know, you mentioned about the 5 days there in the hospital that you were in a coma. So then you kind of come out of all that. Thank God for that. And you kind of want to get your life back together. So how was that coming out of that? Now you recognize that you've lost your vision. Did you reach out to rehab services for the blind, or what did you do to start getting your life back together?
There was a couple of things that I did. One was rehab services for the blind. Ray Schaefer was my counselor. Had Henry Hand. He was the my mobility instructor. He came out and worked with me several times. We got to be good friends. And Ray Schaefer, I just really appreciated him, all the effort that he went through to get the things that I needed to pursue, you know, my goals. And also, rehab or radio information service, RIS, that thing's called Mind's Eye today. But somebody gave me the little receiver, and it's very staticky out where I lived. It didn't have very good reception. But I'll tell you, Joe Kathman at Radio Information Service and Father Bonnie, they had a program in the afternoon at 2 o'clock called Talk Back, and that was really my first exposure to the blind community. And they got me started in bowling. Bowled for one year, I think, on the team down in St. Louis. But I'll tell you, just talking to other people on that Talk Back program, listening to them, what they did and what they were going through, it really encouraged me, hearing what these other people could do. I knew that I could do something because I had the go, the whatever, get up and go to do it. And Henry Hand, as my mobility instructor, as I said, come out and worked with me, and we did become pretty good friends. He came out just on the weekend just to visit with me, and we went to auctions and out to eat. My wife and his wife, we just got to be pretty good friends. And actually, several years later, after he left Rehab Services for the Blind and moved to Atlanta, Georgia, I got to work down there, and I got his number and called him. We got to meet again and go out to eat together. But RSB had some great people back then. They do today, too. But back then, they really helped me a lot. That's what got me going, Chip, was okay. Rehab Services and Mind's Eye Radio. I appreciate Mind's Eye for being there for me.
Good, great. So tell us, Denny, excuse me, but tell us from that particular time until you actually begin to work, I guess, with IRS and the kind of work that you're doing today, is there anything that you would like to share with us that what was going on with Denny Huff during that time between here you're learning the blindness skills and the time that you actually began to work?
Well, I actually did two other jobs before I got the contract with IRS, but that was in 95. And in late 70s, just a few years after I lost my sight, I started singing with a gospel group in 77, I believe it was, and became the manager of the group, one of the lead vocalists, and we started traveling quite a bit around the Midwest, and did a lot of singing, a lot of concerts. We recorded 3 albums, and not only that, but I also worked for a gentleman out of Houston, Texas, David Stockwell. He was offensive guard for Rice University, and he hired me to, what he did was motivational assembly programs in high schools around the country, actually, but mainly in the Midwest. And he didn't charge anything for the assembly programs, but what he asked the schools to do was to allow him to invite them back to what we called the world's largest pizza party in the evening. And that when we did that, he would share his testimony, and I would sing, and he would just present the gospel to them. And my job actually was to go to the high schools and book him, talk to the principal or the superintendent, whoever, and book him in those high schools. And then I would do the advance work, getting together with the Ministerial Alliance, some of the churches in the area, and have them to organize the pizza party, train them to be counselors, things like that. So I did that for about 5 years in the early 80s, actually doing that while singing with the gospel group. And then I did some work for an evangelist after that, doing the same type of work, Joe Murray, who was my pastor for a while, and then he left the pastorship and went into evangelism. So before did the IRS work, gosh, I had a guide dog, got my first guide dog in 1976, went out to California, guide dogs for the blind, and received my first guide dog. Bambi was her name. Cute little yellow lab. Just love that little dog. But I've had 5 guide dogs since that time. And what I did to prepare for work at IRS, I really didn't do a lot, Chip. I got my first computer in 1995, and you were actually my second person that I worked with on the computer that I trained. Greg Mark, I appreciate him so much. He set up my first computer, and I just fell in love with it. I took to it like a duck to water, and I started calling people, asking questions, how do you do this, how do you do that? And I worked on it for about 4 or 5 months, and Greg asked me if I would start training for him. And I said, Greg, I don't know anything about this stuff. And he said, well, you know enough to get somebody else started. So I accepted it, and like I said, you were my second guinea pig, I guess, because I really didn't know much more than you did when I went down to set up your computer. But it just took off from there. And that was in 95. In 1998, I received an email from a friend of mine out in California, and she said that Columbia Lighthouse for the Blind out of Washington, D.C. was looking for trainers. And she knew that I did that kind of work. So I sent an email to Matt Ader, and he responded right away. That was on a Friday afternoon, and I told him I was interested, and he said, well, can I call you Sunday afternoon and do an interview? And I said, sure, that'd be fine. And about 5 minutes later, my phone rang, and it was him. He was desperate. He really was. I think that's the only reason I got hired with him, because I just didn't know that much about all that, what they were doing. But I knew enough to get going with it, and he asked me a few questions and said, well, can you be in Indianapolis on Monday morning? And I said, well, yeah, I guess I can. So that's where it all started, Chip, back in 1998. Appreciate Matt Ader for having faith in me and thinking that I could do the things that needed to be done. So I worked with Columbia Lighthouse for the Blind for the next, I'm still contracted with them. But for the next 12 years, 14 years, I traveled around the country doing work for IRS and Social Security Administration, training their blind employees and working with them. So I worked in 46 different states, I guess, now, and enjoyed it. And I still enjoy doing it today with Missouri Rehab Services for the Blind and the MOAT.
Yes.
Yeah. Missouri Assistive Technology. So anyway, that's my story on that.
Right. You know, you mentioned about the friendship that you and I were able to strike up when you were training me back in 95. And we talked about that when you were interviewing me. So we're going to skip past that. And now here we are, not too much longer after that, that you joined the Missouri Council of the Blind. How did you learn about MCB, or what was it about MCB that you wanted to get involved? What was it that attracted you to MCB?
Well, to be honest, I heard about NFB and MCB both, and I just felt like they were too political for me, and I was not into politics and things like that. I just passed them both up until 2005. I forget who it was now. Somebody introduced me to, I know what it was, for the ATI meeting that you had in, I think it was in 1994 when you met in St. Louis. Bob Jacob was president of the ATI at that time. He invited me to come and talk to the ATI group about a checking, accessible checking program, a check writing program. And so I came and talked to the group at that time and went out and listened to, I think Kathy Wheeler was the president at that time, and listened to her. Maybe you were going out as president in 94 and she was being coming in. Not 2004.
Yeah, 2004, yes.
Yeah, in 2004. But anyway, I kind of enjoyed what everybody had to say, and so I became a member at large in 2005, joined as member at large, and then in 2006, I actually ran for director's position on the board and was elected to that, and then I joined the St. Charles County Council of the Blind right after that. It was just about the closest affiliate to me. All of them, Wright and UWB and the others down in St. Louis and St. Charles County Council, they were all just about 50 miles from me. But I chose St. Charles County Council of the Blind and joined that affiliate in 2006. So that's where I was at.
Yeah, I know you've held various positions within the organization. You've done something that not very many presidents have done. You've ran two consecutive times and won and served two consecutive terms your first time, and then again two consecutive terms your second time. So I don't know if you are the only one that's done that. I do know of others that have ran for another time, but didn't do the two consecutive terms. So I think you were probably the only president that I can actually recall that has been president for, 8 years. So even though, you know, separate times there. And of course, you've been membership chair. You've done PR. You've done that a couple of different times. Education advocacy chair. You've held that position. You mentioned being director. You've done a lot within your own local affiliate. You've held a lot of different positions there as well. So what is it about MCB, do you think, that you know, that you've really thoroughly enjoyed the most during your time as a member of the organization?
I think it would be working with the people. MCB is a grassroots organization. It's not the officers, president, vice president. It's not the office. It's not the board, but it's the people of MCB, the affiliate members and members at large. That's what makes up MCB and what makes it so good. And I just enjoy working with those people. I tell you, RSB and Mind's Eye and all these organizations have done so much for me. I just want to give back to the blind community. And that's one of the reasons I enjoy doing the adaptive technology training so much. Not all the time I get paid for it. I do a lot of volunteer work you know, training people, helping people over the phone, going to them in person, them coming to me in person, helping them. But I just want to give back to the blind community because they've done so much for me over the years. And that's what I like about MCB. It's just, like I said, a grassroots organization, and it's just really good to be a part of such a great great organization. A little slogan that I came up when I was president, MCB is a great place to be, and it really is.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, Denny, over the years that you and I have been good and dear friends, you know, some of the things that I've, you know, come to realize about you, I know that you do have a great love and passion for MCB. And not just that, but you also want to be able to help those in the blind community, like the technology that has helped you. You want to be able to share that same knowledge and experience. And I know you've always been open and helping me along the way. You've been just such a tremendous help and asset in helping me. And I know people, once they really get to know you, and most people would agree with that really do know you, and others that maybe don't know you quite as well, hopefully they'll become to recognize that too. So we don't have a whole lot of time here left. Is there anything that you would like to share? One other thing, too. We've talked about this a little bit when you interviewed me and when we interviewed Bev Cascaden about TAVM, Technology Association for Visually Impaired Missourians. So I know you're the secretary there. You're the secretary of ATI, Special Interest Affiliate of the Missouri Council of the Blind. Is there anything else that maybe you would like to share with the folks that we haven't covered yet today?
I hope the people know that I am approachable, that they can come to me with questions, either about technology or about MCB. I tried to be that way while I was president. People could come to me and talk to me about their concerns, about questions that they may have. But I'm here to help, and I tell you, my main goal in life is to serve God. You and I do a radio show, a gospel music radio show. Been involved in gospel music, as I mentioned earlier, with the singing group since the mid-70s. Being on the radio with the gospel music since the late 80s, and I just want to serve God. I want to make him say one day, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I hope that each one of us can really say, you know, that there goes my my echo reminder.
Yeah,
so coming on there. That's Hallenbaum. I couldn't function sometimes without Echo remembering the things that I need to do, and she comes on and reminds me. But I tell you, Chip, really, we're here to serve him, and I hope that people will put him first in all that they do. And giving back to others is one thing that that God would have us to do. It's just to help others, serve others, because where would we be without each other, Chip?
That's right.
You've been
such
a good friend to me, and been a big support, and I hope that I have to you. And I tell you, there's other people in my life that I really appreciate and have helped me along the way. My pastor, Joe Murray, that's in heaven now, passed away a couple of years ago. My pastor now, Thomas Smith, at my church, and former pastor, they've just all been a blessing to me. They really have. They've taught me so much, and I hope that I can pass that on to other people.
Now, you also, are you still doing the radio program there? What is it, KLRP?
KLPW.
Yeah, KLPW.
I do a Sunday morning show, yes, at 8 o'clock every Sunday morning. I play just good old-fashioned hymns by different artists. I call it Hymns in Color, Sunday morning hymns in color, because I do so many, such a variety styles of hymns, from country to symphony, or even had, what's his name, Oh, Jimmy Durante.
Yes.
Have some music by him, gospel music on by him. But yeah, I do that every Sunday morning. Have been since 1989, I guess.
Okay. In closing, why don't you just share with folks how they can listen to the Gospel Jubilee?
Okay. Just if you got an Echo device, you can just say the wake word, whatever that is, on your device. Play the Gospel Jubilee on Apple Podcast. And you might want to say play the latest edition of the Gospel Jubilee on Apple Podcast. That way you get the most recent one. That's one of the ways, but there's other ways too. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see a link there for the Gospel Jubilee. I put it out every week. You can listen to it that way.
Yeah, you can listen to it on your Victor stream. Just go to the podcast online bookshelf and just type in the Gospel Jubilee, and you'll receive a new edition each and every week. Or you can do the same thing on your iPhone. Go to your podcast app and type in the Gospel Jubilee and listen to it on your iPhone. So there's so many different ways that you can listen to it each and every week. And I've always thoroughly enjoyed doing that program with you, Denny. And
yeah.
It is a great, if you love Southern gospel music, well, we don't only do Southern gospel, we do some country and bluegrass. And
right.
So yeah. Yeah, so it's really been good.
But you always get top billing, you know?
Yes, I do. I do. All right. Well, Denny, all right. So that's going to be it for today. Anything else in closing?
No. Just appreciate all you people at MCB. No matter what position you hold, no matter what affiliate you're in, just love y'all. And if you ever need anything that I can provide, don't hesitate to ask.
Okay, so I'm going to turn it back to you, and we'll just close it out like we normally do.
Okay, and thank you, Chip, for the interview today, and appreciate you so much. You and Linda, just a great couple and good people. I want to say hi to Franklin, too. Franklin Johnson, an old buddy down there next to you in Joplin. So, and Beverly Cascading, one of my best friends. I appreciate her so much. So, anyway. Thanks, folks, for listening to this edition of Meet the People of MCB. If you have somebody that you would like for Chip and I to interview, please give me a call at 636-428-1500 or call Chip at
417-540-9703.
And be sure and listen the next time on Meet the People of MCB. You might even hear yourself. Thank you all. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.